Take your Bibles now, if you will. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. New Testament passage of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 6 this morning. Responsively, I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2. All the way through verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly are thankful to be here this morning. Lord, we're already sensing your presence here this morning through the singing. Lord, through the testimony, through Sunday school, through the time of fellowship. But Lord, now we come to the most important part of the service, Lord, the preaching of God's word. Lord, there may be folks here this morning that are not saved. And Lord, what a tragedy it would be if our unattentiveness would distract those around us. So please, may we set aside those things that are on our mind, Lord, and focus on the truth that you have prepared for us this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd meet with us in a special way this morning. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Come and meet you there. Great job, choir. As they go down, if you'll keep your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11, let me, to our guests, say, I love to preach. I've been doing this August 1st will be 40 years I've been preaching. I've been preaching since I was 13 years old. Yesterday, I turned 53 years old. So I've been doing this for 40 years, and I want to say this. I've been loaded. The gun's been loaded. The hammer's back. The finger's on the trigger, and my finger's been going, getting ready to pull the trigger on this one for a while. But I am so excited to preach this today. To me, a sermon's a greasy wrench. It's not a work of art. It's a greasy wrench that you ought to be able to use.
Right.
And I want you to use this. I want you to listen. I really believe if this is your first time in church, I can help you. If this is new to you, I can help you. If you've been at this as long as I have, I can help you today. This is one of those truths that it's going to hit everybody today. So the shotgun's out. Hold on. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very interesting chapter. It's about something called faith. Now, I'm not one of these spooky Christians, all right? There's people out there that, to me, they're just kind of a little bit spooky and you almost believe in ghosts kind of thing, and that just doesn't work with me. The concept of faith has been so perverted by religion and false teaching that it gives faith a bad name. You see, what most people really don't know what faith is. Faith is not blind hope. Faith is not power of positive thinking. Faith is not, oh, I have faith that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall. If I just believe, well, you can believe all you want, but the law of gravity over exceeds your belief. Faith is not just a belief in what you want. I want you to notice that Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is a substance. Then it says, faith has evidence. We'll come back to that in a moment. God's greatest attribute is that of justice. Without the justice of God, God is not God. With that, I say this, God doesn't care who you are. God doesn't care what your last name is. God will treat the richest person in the world the same way he will the poorest person in the world.
Right.
See, the scales of justice are equal because Lady Justice has a blindfold. If you look at the symbol of justice, it is the balancing of the scales with a blindfolded person holding them, which means it doesn't matter who you are, it balances the same. That means this, laws ought to apply to the politicians, not just to the people.
Amen.
It ought to apply to the rich as well as to the poor. And it ought to apply to the poor as well as to the rich.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't matter how important you are or how unimportant you feel you are, justice is the same. God not only has justice, but God is justice. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God is the judge of the world. You don't need to turn there, but let me read a couple scriptures to you. Psalm 82, verse number 8 says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Psalm 96, I'll read it to you just a few pages over. Psalm 96, verse number 13 says, before the Lord he cometh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and their people with truth. Psalm 98, verse number 9. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. May I say this? God not only loves justice, but he is the judge of the universe.
Amen.
Someday when you die, you will stand before the righteous judge, the holy judge, God himself.
Right.
Yes.
And he will judge you with righteousness.
Right.
Now, I say that to say this. That means this: God requires justice in his presence. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." It is impossible to please God without faith. Therefore, faith cannot be some blind, hopeful thinking, some power of positive thinking. It has to be something more than hope. It has to be something tangible that faith is based on. Justice is not based on feelings. Justice is not based on how you perceive something to be. Justice is based on fact and truth. Now, God tells us here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, that faith is a substance and that it has evidence. Ooh. So substance means something tangible, correct? That means something that you can feel. This pulpit is substance. It's made out of wood. This microphone has substance. It's made out of metal and probably plastic. It has substance. God says faith is a substance, not something that's ethereal. But it also says that it has evidence. So it is substance plus evidence. Evidence is a legal term. If you looked up the word evidence in the Greek, if you look at it in the English, the word evidence is a legal term, and it means something to prove a person wrong or to declare one guilty of a criminal offense by a judge. Evidence is there to show guilt of something that was wrong by someone. Faith, therefore, is not blind, foolish hope. It is substance with evidence. Substance with evidence. Today, I want to show you what the evidence of faith is. What is the evidence of faith? First of all, we have to find out what law it is. See, evidence is in reference to a law. So, let me help you with something. The Ten Commandments are not the law of faith. The Ten Commandments have nothing to do with going to heaven. Ten Commandments have nothing to do with faith. Ten Commandments were the civil law found in Exodus chapter 20. The Jews had left Egypt. They were gathered into the wilderness. They've crossed the Red Sea. And God says, okay, here are 10 things that I want you to do. This is your government of how to get along with each other. And when you get into Canaan land, here's your constitution, so to speak. Thou shalt not kill. Wouldn't that be good in America today? Amen. Thou shalt not lie. Wouldn't that be good for our government? Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Wouldn't that help our nation? Amen. And I could go on and on. Those had nothing to do with man's faith to get to heaven. It was civil law for man to get along with his fellow man. Did you know if you didn't kill somebody, you didn't lie to somebody, you didn't cheat on your spouse, we could get along pretty good? Amen. Do you know if we got rid of the false gods and worshiped the true and holy God, we would have less troubles in our world today? Right. If you just look at those Ten Commandments, they have nothing to do with the law of faith, has nothing to do with going to heaven. It had everything to do with man getting along with man. Therefore, the Ten Commandments are not the law by which God will judge and require evidence of faith. That just blew most religion right out of the water, didn't it? Well, religion is man telling God what God must accept of man. How about we take what God said and do what God said?
Amen.
So, it's not the Ten Commandments. Number two, it's not the Levitical law. You say, what in the world is the Levitical law? The Levitical law is the law of the priesthood and the tabernacle. That's where you get into the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and they're talking about the tabernacle and the holy place and the altar, or the brazen altar and the sacrificial altar, and you got the holy place, and then you've got the table of showbread, the candlestick, you got the altar of incense, the holy of holies, the veil underneath, the ark of the covenant, and the mercy seat on all that, and all the ritual that went with it. You had all the high priest who would wear certain garments, and he had the breastplate of righteousness that had the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and on and on and on and on. Hey, that Levitical law only affected a small group of people. The Levitical law was for, I hate saying it, it was for the preachers. And they were representing what Jesus would do for us someday at Calvary. It was a representation of what would take place. Well, according to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, I don't have time to go there and read it right now, but the Bible says that when Jesus came, he nailed the Levitical law to the cross. Say why? Because he fulfilled it. He died as the Lamb of God. He resurrected as our high priest. That's why this guy ain't wearing no dress.
Amen. Amen.
That's why Jesus established the church, not the temple.
Amen.
That's why those at the temple came to him and he said, look, I'll destroy the temple and raise it up again the third day. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? That's why we don't practice temple worship.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? The Levitical priesthood only affected a small portion of people. It did not affect the whole world. Therefore, the Levitical law could not be the law by which God judges us for our faith. Number three, you had the moral law. Again, you could go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the moral laws are mentioned. This is man's cleanliness. God talked about not preparing meat in certain ways and what things were clean, what things were not clean. Talked about sanitation and how we should get rid of human waste and not let it just be everywhere all over the place. Talked about cleanliness of water and hands and different things. Everything that they're talking about today, it's in the Bible. That's how man is to be healthy and clean. May I say this? It had nothing to do with being spiritual.
That's right.
Being healthy doesn't make you spiritual.
Amen.
Being sick doesn't make you spiritual.
Amen.
That is man's health. And the moral laws, by the way, did you know if you lived morally, you'll live a cleaner life?
That's right.
The diseases that are transmitted by human beings because they act worse than animals.
Yes.
You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
And Jesus didn't wiggle when he walked.
Amen.
Just so you know. We're not supposed to be sleeping around like a bunch of barnyard animals either.
Amen.
And bless God, two bulls have enough sense not to be together. Would to God that humans had enough sense that two stupid cows have in the pasture.
Amen.
So, the moral laws, the laws of cleanliness, are not the laws God will judge us by our faith. So it's not the civil law, it's not the Levitical law, it's not the moral law. Then what law is it that God is going to judge us by our faith? Glad you asked. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I must hurry, so turn there quickly. Romans chapter 8. Again, legal terms being used here. And I want to help you with something. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, notice capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now look at me. Condemnation. That means you've been accused of doing something wrong. You've gone to court, been found guilty, and sentence has been placed upon you, and it's a death sentence. That's what the word condemnation means. Did you know, I know this is going to be hard for you to accept, did you know that you're a sinner? So am I, just so you know. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Guess what? How many sins does it take to be a sinner? One. Just like one murder, you become a murderer. See, it's not how many or to what degree, you're just a sinner. You're born in sin and you sin by choice. Nobody here is sinless, including the guy talking to you right now. And I know the other guy on the platform's not. I reared him. I could give you a lot of lists there. Now, wait a minute. We're all sinners. Because we're sinners, we come under the law of sin and death. For the wages of sin is death. Uh-oh. Proof you're a sinner, you're going to die. Proof I'm a sinner, I'm going to die. But you say, why? Because I am under the law of sin and death. You can deny it all you want, but guess what? You're going to die.
That's right.
And it is a proof that you are a sinner. Now watch this. Romans chapter 6. Turn back just a page or two. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. When people talk about law and grace, most people think Ten Commandments. No. Say, what is grace then? Grace is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He lived our righteousness for us. He went to Calvary. He shed his blood at Calvary and died. He suffered our hell for us, the separation from God, the sum total of all sin for all humanity. Watch this. It was buried for 3 days and three nights. Why 3 days and three nights? Hebrew law required somebody legally dead after 3 days and three nights, just in case they sat up in the middle of those 3 days and three nights and came alive again. I'm here to tell you, I've done well over 1,000 funerals, and I've said this before, I'll do your funeral, but if you sit up in that box when I'm at your funeral, I'm out of there. I'm leaving. Brother Josh can finish the funeral, I'm out of there. I don't care which way I got to go, but I'm gone. I've been around a lot of death, but you know, somebody sits up that you think's dead, that's a little creepy. 3 days and three nights guaranteed somebody wasn't coming back. Guess what? On that fourth morning, Jesus conquered death. Matter of fact, the Bible says he grabbed the keys of death and hell, and he holds on to them. He conquered the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Now, watch this. The law brought on man by our sin is the law of sin and death. God did not make man to die. But when man sinned, he committed the same sin that Lucifer, the devil, committed in heaven before man was created. God did not make hell for man. God made hell for the devil and his angels, the book of Matthew says. But when man sinned, he committed the same sin that Satan committed. Therefore, God's justice required the same punishment. But God said, I love man. Jesus said, God, I want you to have what you want. here's a plan, and I'll go do this. If I go do this and man will accept me as their Savior, would you receive them back? I'll give them my righteousness for their unrighteousness. God said, I'll do it.
Amen.
If you'll pay their price for them, I will accept that as payment in full.
Amen.
Now hang on. I'm about to come unscrewed. The law of sin and death is the law by which God will judge us and requires the evidence of faith. So, number two, Jesus came to fulfill the law for us because we as sinners cannot do it ourselves. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. You don't need to turn there, but Romans chapter 2, verse number 16, the Bible says this. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. He will judge you according to the gospel. What is the gospel? The sinless life of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the death, the burial, and resurrection, and whether you accepted that or you were trusting your own righteousness. Well, hopefully my good will outweigh the bad. Wrong answer. Well, I was baptized as a baby. Wrong answer. You can get baptized in every church. You can get baptized in every creek and every pond till you know every tadpole by name and die and go to hell.
That's right.
Baptistry doesn't take anybody to heaven.
That's right.
It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, but it doesn't take anybody to heaven. I've joined this church and I joined that church and I just believe in all religions. Sorry, not good enough. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? Haven't we prophesied in your name? He'll say, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting darkness. I never knew you.
That's right.
Ooh. It's not a matter of what you do, it's a matter of what he did. So God says that it's by the righteousness of Christ that we get saved. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with the law. Did you know that Jesus was the model citizen?
Sorry.
Matter of fact, when they wanted to crucify him, Pilate, the government, the leader, he said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. They sent it up to Herod and he said, I want nothing to do with it. He's not guilty. I'm not touching that one. He fulfilled the priestly laws. He is our high priest. Whoever intercedeth for us at the throne of God in heaven, in the true tabernacle pitched in heaven, not made with hands of men, according to the book of Hebrews. Not only that, he fulfilled all the moral laws. Did you know he never sinned?
Sorry.
How'd you like to have Jesus as your brother? Blame it on him. Didn't work. Man, what a bummer. But may I say this? On that resurrection morning, on that first Easter morning, the earthquake came and the grave was pitched open and Jesus had come up out of the grave.
Amen.
He conquered sin and he conquered death. He overcame them for our righteousness.
Right. Amen.
He became the substance of faith. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Right.
You cannot base faith on something that's not true. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. God even has to give us the faith that we need to get saved. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. Just a few pages over from where you probably were just at. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 3 very quickly. The Bible says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man," notice that, every man, that means mankind, "that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Did you know that you don't even provide the faith to get saved? God provides faith for you to get saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves," that is a relative pronoun that renames the noun preceding it. "And that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Because we're sinners, we can't do enough good, we can't do enough righteousness in our sinful flesh to get to heaven. I don't care how good you are not good enough to get to heaven. I've been preaching for almost 40 years, and I am not good enough to get to heaven by my own righteousness. I need the righteousness of Jesus Christ in my account in heaven for God to say Craig Bush is allowed to enter heaven. "Well, preacher, you've been preaching and you've been doing a lot of good things, but I'm still a sinner and I'm still bound for hell without Jesus Christ and his righteousness on my account." That means this. By the way, you can go to Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:11, Galatians 3:17. It says we are not justified by our faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." As a 4.5-year-old boy at the Canton Baptist Temple, a one-legged man preaching who is a Vietnam vet, got his leg blown off in Vietnam, got up and preached like I'm preaching today. And I walked over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her dress and said, "I don't want to die and go there." And that day I knelt at a little kindergartner chair and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. 49 years ago, and I'm still on my way to heaven. I'm like, "Brother Jackson, I haven't got over it yet. I don't plan on ever getting over it." So, first of all, the law is the law of sin and death. Second of all, Jesus came and fulfilled the law of sin and death. Here we go. I've got 7 minutes to come unscrewed. So, the faith required is given to us by God, by Jesus Christ, and the penalty he paid for us. He is the substance of our faith. But what's the evidence? Are you ready? The blood of Jesus Christ is the evidence of our faith.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire to prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Saved from what? Saved from hell. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Look at me. You have to believe that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt for you. That he is God in the flesh. He was righteousness in the flesh. And you, instead of trusting your own good works, hopefully the good outweighs the bad. That means justice. your good can't outweigh the bad.
Right.
You don't have enough righteousness on your own to outweigh the bad.
Right.
You need Jesus to step in the scale and balance it out.
Amen.
That's what he did for you and for me. Watch this. That means you go from trusting your own righteousness, realizing you need a Savior, using that faith that God gave you and say, I'll trust what you did to take me to heaven. From that moment on, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed into your life on your account, and in God's eyes, you are declared righteous.
Amen.
Say, how do you know that, preacher? Oh, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 24, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, it says that it's by his sacrifice that those things are imputed to us, not by our righteousness, but by his righteousness.
Amen.
By the way, that's what the word repent means.
Right.
The word repent means that you go from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of God. It's not a matter of forsaking sin. It's not a matter of changing your life. But I will tell you this. If you get Jesus in your life, it's going to change.
Amen.
Just hang on. Wait a minute. At salvation, God imputes his righteousness to us. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Let me turn there. I'm right there. I'll jump into it. The Bible says this. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
Yes.
Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. For you to earn, or for you to work, or trust your own religious things to get you to heaven, you are becoming your own lawyer. And you are standing before the judge of the universe. And you are saying, Judge, here's my evidence. I didn't kill anybody. I tried to help people. I even gave money every once in a while. I tried not to lie. God, here's my evidence. God says it doesn't measure up to Jesus Christ. You have to have total righteousness. How about all these things that you did wrong? Well, doesn't my good count? Doesn't my extra credit outweigh all the wrong answers? God's going to say you have no evidence of faith.
That's right.
You have self-righteousness, but the Bible says that even our own righteousness is as filthy rags.
That's right.
It's tainted by sin.
Right.
You can't earn your own righteousness. To be righteous enough to get to heaven, you have to be as righteous as Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And because you're a sinner, you fall short. So do I. Religion is man telling God how God should accept man. May I say something? The Bible we read in Hebrews chapter 11 talked about Cain and Abel. Cain said, God, I know you require a blood sacrifice, but I'm not selling some of my corn and my wheat to my brother to get a lamb. Either accept my plants or don't accept anything. God said, I don't have respect for your sacrifice, Cain. You need a blood sacrifice. Cain said, don't care. God said, Cain, if you'll just open the door, I have a lamb crouched and ready to jump into your arms, and that lamb could be your sacrifice for you. He said, God, either take what I have or don't take it at all. And God said, I won't take it. It has to be a blood sacrifice. By the way, it required blood to be a sacrifice. It didn't take the death of Jesus only, it took the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
God, I've been baptized. I've done good things. I've lit candles. I've taken the Lord's Supper. I've done those things. I've had Holy Communion and Holy Cow and all those things. And I've done this and I've done that. God says, I'm glad you did those things, but where's the righteousness? On Resurrection Day. Jesus came up out of the grave. There was a lady that met him on the road there in the cemetery named Mary. He was walking towards her and he said, ma'am, you're crying. What's wrong? She said, my Savior, they've taken him and I don't know where they put him. He said, Mary. And she looked at him. She knew that voice. She said, Rabboni, Master. And she went to go hug him. He'd been dead for 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't have hugged him. I've been running the other way. Sorry. She got more courage than I got. If I'm walking through the graveyard and somebody had died 3 days ago was there, I'm not hugging them. But she went to hug him and he said, Mary, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Watch this. He died as your sacrifice. He died as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. But he resurrected our high priest.
Amen.
And he had the holy, righteous blood. The sinless blood that was required at the mercy seat in heaven. According to Hebrews, there's a tabernacle in heaven that has the mercy seat on it. And that is where Jesus had to go and place the blood on the mercy seat. Watch this. The chain of evidence could not be contaminated from Calvary to the mercy seat. Had she touched him, the evidence would have been contaminated. It had to be sealed and taken to the mercy seat so that Jesus, as our mediator, standing before God, he says, when Satan comes and says, Scott Garner, you're a sinner. Jesus says, but my blood's on the mercy seat for Scott. Scott got saved. And God, you have to accept my righteousness, even though he's a sinner. His sin is covered under the blood, and God looks at Satan and says, what sin are you talking about? It's already been paid for.
Amen.
It's not by Scott's good works. It's definitely not by his looks.
Amen.
It is by faith and the evidence thereof.
Amen.
The evidence of our faith is the blood of Jesus Christ on the mercy seat of God.
Amen.
The substance was Jesus.
That's right.
The evidence as is his sinless blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Did you know you can't lose your salvation?
Amen.
Once the judge declares you righteous, you can't go back on the decision. He delivered the evidence, his blood, and it is the only acceptable evidence to the judge of the universe. Pardon the expression, it's the smoking gun.
Amen.
According to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he is the author and finisher of our faith. He authored the plan, he performed the plan, he finished it by putting his blood on the mercy seat.
Amen.
That means this. You don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by what he did. There's only two religions in the world. You do it to get it. He did it. You accept it.
Amen.
I don't care what name you put to it. It's either you earning your own righteousness or it was earned for you and you accept what he did and you take that to get you to heaven. That's it. You have to realize you're a sinner. You have to realize because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. There's a punishment on sin, death and hell. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Without Jesus Christ on your record, you will die and go to hell. I didn't say it, God did. Don't get mad at the mailman. I just delivered the message. But may I say this? He came to pay your sin debt for you. My favorite part of this, Jesus didn't die for the devil and his angels. He died for you and me. Why would you waste the gift of God? Why would you want to risk dying and going to hell, rejecting what he did for you to take you to heaven? Well, I've got my own evidence. And you're going to lose. There's but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Say why? Because he had the evidence of our faith. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Maybe you've been saved and you've never decided to live like a Christian. How about you decide, hey, it's been paid for, might as well get the advantage of living like it. Maybe you've never been baptized. Doesn't get anybody to heaven, I tell people this all the time. Wearing a ring doesn't make you married. But it lets everybody know I've been married. That's all baptism is. It's a picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're not a member of a gospel preaching church, you ought to join the church. Say why? This is where you come to get strength. This is where you come to learn this book right here. Yeah, you can take it home and read it on your own and learn it. But every once in a while, you need somebody to preach the snot out of you. Can I tell you something? The evidence of our faith. Faith is a substance. It's Jesus Christ. It has evidence. His blood on the mercy seat in heaven. It sealed our redemption. You know the greatest part? He didn't die for the devil and his angels. He died for you and for me. It is only available to man. How about you take advantage of it today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I mean this with every fiber of my body. Give everybody the respect they do deserve right now. I'll not embarrass anybody. Never would do it. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, how about you, by faith that God provided for you, realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell, and that Jesus paid your sin debt for you. All you have to do is by faith that he gave you. Trust that, not yourself. He would come into your life. He would save you. He would seal you with the Holy Spirit of God. And forever you'd be on your way to heaven. It's not something spooky. Lights aren't going to flash. You won't lay on the floor and flip and flop and talk in unknown tongues. Oh, no, 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 no. It's just by faith you accept it. Who'd say, preacher, I don't know that, but I sure would like to. And I'd like to do that today. Would you raise your hand? All right. If you've been saved and never baptized, in a moment you come. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you come. Whatever the need, maybe you just want to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and thank God for being saved.